Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Right now, we are going to go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and bring in Dustin Dupariak. He is from the Indianapolis Star, and he's the Pacers beat reporter. Indianapolis is not easy for me to say. Dustin, thank you. How are you? How are you?
Doing well. Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, so we're excited for this series. This should be great. Just on the surface, when you saw, hey, these two teams are playing, this is where we're going, what went through your mind?
Well, it was fitting, I guess, in general. I mean, obviously, I kind of figured this is kind of how the season was going to go for the Pacers. They were ultimately going to have a better year regular season-wise than last year, but starting a more difficult position. They were going to be looking at they would be able to move up to a four and be facing a one seed in the semifinals rather than in the first round. That was going to be a tougher road to hoe. And obviously, you know, Cleveland, I mean, the Cavs just were remarkable this year. I mean, you kind of went into the season seeing this sort of glob of teams after Boston, think, okay, who's going to rise up after that? And I felt like it could have been anybody, and it really was Cleveland. I mean, it was a remarkable job that Kenny Atkinson did, just getting this group that was already really good to take it up a level. My thought was, well, it's going to be a really good series. And also, you know, the way the season series broke out, which is, you know, odd for Central Division opponents, you didn't really get to learn about them too much. I mean, you had those two games in January with a home and home. And those were really interesting. The last two were, you know, like obviously the Cavs were resting both of their guys. The last one, the regular season finale, was hilarious. But it was mostly played by two-way contract players who aren't even eligible for this thing. So basically, there's still like a lot of mystery in terms of how they match up and how they really work. I mean, Halliburton missed one of those games. He missed a half of another one, and that was one of the best halves the Pacers played all year. So you kind of really don't even know what to expect from it, which is, I think, a really fun thing and adds a lot of intrigue to it.
Hey, Dustin, it's Tom Withers, former AP writer. How you doing, man?
Doing good, Tom. About yourself, man?
Great to have you on here. Hey, so the Pacers, to me, have been one of the unsung stories all year. I know they started out poorly, played really well down the stretch. What were the early season issues that they were dealing with, and what finally clicked in for them?
Yeah, two big things. One was Tyrese Halliburton had a horrendous first 15 games. And he just could not buy, you know, just could not make a shot. I think over that stretch, he averaged like 15 a game, somehow got some buckets. But, I mean, I think it was 37.5% from the floor, 28.4% from three. I've read those numbers like 100 times now. So, he just could not buy one. And you saw really just the joy just drain from him. I remember even he had a good second shooting half against Milwaukee in Milwaukee. But, I mean, we just talked to him in the locker room afterwards. And you just saw a different guy than you're used to seeing. And he came back the next game. And I think he had like 21 after that. And I think he had like 28 the next game. And he came in and talked to us after. He was just like, I'm just not going to be like that anymore. Okay. Like I'm done with that. I'm finding a way to move on from that. You saw just a switch Flip with him, he got a lot better pretty fast. I mean, he still had some not great games. There was some inconsistency there, but down at, from the All-Star break on, he was pretty much phenomenal. I think I just did the math. I think he's had double-figure assists in 21 of his last 25 games, counting regular season and postseason. And he's been shooting it pretty well. Didn't make a lot of great of threes against Milwaukee in the playoffs, but has been a different player. But the other thing was, they dealt with injuries. So some guys that mattered. Guys that are really their connective tissue. They still have their four leading scorers available through that whole kind of November, December stretch. But Andrew Nembhard missed most of November with knee tendonitis, something he'd been doing with Wofford. They just decided to shut him down and get him back healthy. Aaron Nesmith had a bad ankle sprain. And so he was out from November 1st to January 16th. Ben Shepherd strained an oblique. I think he broke some ribs against Miami, took a shot there, and all those things kind of came together. And those are three guys that are really good defenders for them, really good connective tissue, ball movers, catch and shoot guys. And Nembhard obviously can be a secondary ball handler for Halliburton. Really just, again, a lot of their connective tissue was gone, and they had to kind of make way make everything work without them. And they were starting Quentin Jackson, who was a two-way guy, as their shooting guard for like 7-8 games in that stretch. So, I mean, they really had to kind of pieced together with duct tape. They had the two centers went down with Achilles tendon tears, and they couldn't really get a guy that they could trust until they could trade for Thomas Bryant on December 15th because he was a guy that signed a free agent contract in the offseason. So it took a while for them to get all those pieces together, and once they finally did, they really got going. Another big piece was, they really had their schedule compacted by that Paris trip, really on both ends of it. You saw not a lot of space between games, and a big kind of turning point for them was that time they got to practice during the NBA, like where basically when they got to the knockout rounds of the NBA Cup and everybody else got a break, they needed that break like really bad. And you saw a different team 5 days after. They had a horrendous game against Charlotte on December 8th, and then really I think they didn't play again until Friday, maybe Saturday, somewhere in that stretch. It was like Sunday to Friday, and they got most of a week off. And from that point on, they were 40-17. Basically from that stretch forward. So those pieces all came together to kind of flip those things around. But I mean, the biggest two things were Halliburton becoming Halliburton again, and those getting those three really connective, hard-playing guys back.
Dustin, can you talk a little bit about how the Pacers had to kind of back off a total, you're coming off last year, it's offense, mm-hmm. offense, offense, and that they had to buy into this philosophy that if we really want to go deeper and we want to win in the playoffs, we are going to have to readjust what we're doing defensively, especially towards the second half of the season?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it really, the click over in terms of this has to change really came about Christmas of last season. You see if you go back in their box scores and stuff, you see a significant lineup change around December 26th of 2023. And that's basically, up until that point, the scoring numbers were nuts. I mean, they had a game where they beat Atlanta like 157-155 in an NBA Cup game. Like, it was crazy. And they were just feeling like they could outscore everybody. And Carlisle would keep saying in press conference, we can't keep doing this. But they had this very, offensive-oriented lineup that they were running out there. It was like, Halliburton, Buddy Hield, Ben Mathurin, Obi Toppin, and Miles Turner, I think. I mean, there was one or two. Bruce Brown was in there, too. I think it was like Halliburton, Brown, Mathurin, Toppin, and Turner. And, Brown was the only guy that could really trust to defend anybody. And they also just, Toppin's not the best defensive player in the world. They were getting just killed by power forwards. Like, the Giannis had 64 points in the game in that stretch, had 54 points in the game in that stretch, and it's like, okay, this doesn't really work. And so they moved Jalen Smith into the starting lineup at that point, and then they traded for Pascal Siakam, and it's like, okay, like, this has to get better. So you saw the numbers get better toward the second half of last season. This year again, basically at the beginning part of the season, with them missing Nesmith, Nembhard, and Shepherd, that's their three best defenders, three best perimeter defenders, and guys that can defend multiple positions and stuff like that. That right there was really killer. I mean, it wasn't that they weren't focused on it or didn't spend a lot of time thinking about defense, but the guys that were the best defensive players were gone. And so everything else, Quentin Jackson was guarding the opponent's best player. Two-way contract guy, not eligible to even play right now. And that's the guy they were putting on Jalen Green when they were playing Houston and stuff like that. I mean, they got beat by Toronto in a game, and you were like, well, who were they ever supposed to have defend these guys? Like, who was supposed to defend RJ Barrett out of the group they had available? I mean, they had no choice, and Turner was sick that night, so Jacob Poeltl went out for like 30. And it was like, I mean, that's the biggest thing, is like, they when they were like wounded, they had nobody to guard anybody. And so finally, all those guys go back, and they don't just dial it up. They say, okay, not only are we going to play harder defense, we're going to live on full court pressure. And that, I think, was really the big, the risk, frankly, is after Nembhard comes off of knee tendonitis, you're like, well, you're going to jam every ball handler 94 feet, and if your guy's not the one bringing up the ball, then Pascal will do it, or Aaron will do it, or Ben Mathurin will do it, or something like that. Basically, it's going to be required of anybody. Whoever's guy is bringing up the ball is going to have to defend him as soon as he gets the inbound, and that's the way they're going to change things. And so that's also a really big key. I mean, you see the turnovers caused numbers go up a lot starting about January 1st. I think they were maybe top five in turnovers caused. I think like seventh in steals. I could be to have those numbers flipped. But that's really a game changer there. But really, it was middle of last season they decided you can't just outscore everybody anymore. And, you saw it get a little bit better, but then it got a lot better this year once they got all their key defensive pieces back and then really committed to not just playing defense, but playing pressure defense.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dustin, you had one of those non-basketball stories drop in your lap, and I can empathize and sympathize with you. The biggest story of the Pacers-Bucks series happened after the Pacers-Bucks series with the situation with John Haliburton on the floor and Giannis. What do you think is going to be I like the way that Tyrese handled this in the aftermath. Obviously, had a connection with his dad, explained what had happened, kind of scolded his dad, if you will, a little bit. Do you think there's going to be any, after effect of this? Do you think this is going to be kind of done? Unfortunately, I'm afraid that it may linger with some fans in terms of him hearing it a little bit. But what are your thoughts as we go forward now?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to hear about it, but, he was already hearing himself called overrated by everybody in Milwaukee. Right. So, there's only so much there. And I'm sure, I guess at the moment, my first glance thought is to think he'll be able to shake it off pretty easy because, you hear stuff all the time,
right.
And this is not going to be the worst thing you've ever heard. And I can't imagine him going back to the sort of mental hole he was in November. I'd have a hard time imagining that he would get that far. But they are really close. Among the lingering effects, he's already been, I don't know if the word suspended, banned, whatever. He's not coming to games for a while. And basically the term that was used was foreseeable future. I dug into that a little bit, talked to some people, and they're just thinking through the playoffs at this point. They haven't even considered next year in any, positive, negative, or otherwise, as far as how far that's going to go. And so, they're really close. John has a lot to do with Tyrese being who he is. Both as a player and as a person. They've got some similar personality traits. Tyrese is not the exact same, but right. A lot of just Ty's very garrulous, very personable nature comes from John. I got John on the phone, Wednesday, without a problem, and he probably shouldn't have picked up the phone at the end of the day. That probably wasn't the smartest thing he did, but he was, honest and real about it. He's like, I screwed up and I shouldn't have done that. He made a point of telling me, he's like, I did not swear to the guy because I don't swear, it would seem kind of wild to me because Ty will throw out the random F-bomb at a press conference for no real, emotional reason, but just like it just happened to be the word that pops in his head at the moment.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I thought that was interesting. But, you know, I mean, like I saw a picture, and I don't know if it's real because I don't know what's real on the internet anymore, but of the Cavs having shirts that say "Control Your Dad." And I have no idea if that's true. I mean,
I think that was a little fake, but yeah, but he's going to hear some of that for sure.
Yeah, no, I'm sure he will. And it's just, again, like, what's the difference between that and overrated? You know, it's like he's used to hearing that stuff on the road. I mean, I'm sure he's used to that stuff. I mean, it's going to bother him just because I think he knows his dad screwed up and there's not a lot he could do to justify it. And, you know, it's tough, I think. It's definitely tougher that it was Giannis. You know, I think because if you're Haliburton, you're getting yourself into that fraternity of superstars, you know, and you're proving that you belong there. And it's kind of, you know, it's got to be weird to have an interaction between your dad and one of the best players in the world, and go ahead.
Yeah, no, I just want to ask you about that, you know, the overrated thing for Haliburton. At the end of the day, if he is driven by that and they knock the Cavs out, he could always go back and go, well, nobody, you know, you talk about having a chip on your shoulder. You wonder if the player saying that he was the most overrated player could be a blessing in disguise.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's going to work fine for him. I mean, I think, you know, the telling thing about it is it was 13 out of 90. You know, like, it wasn't like this is a widely held belief. Basically, it's not like this is a majority of the players that were polled or the majority of the players in the NBA. You know, I mean, like, I've been in locker rooms. Like, I mean, I used to work for The Athletic. I mean, we had, when I covered college sports there, I had to execute one of these polls. And, you know, so I've seen the guys on The Athletic, the beat writers, sort of conducting these in the locker room. They'll tell every PR department, hey, I'm coming in to do this, just so you guys are aware. And I've seen them interview Pacers guys about it, and you see how the whole thing goes. And, you know, there are certain questions that the guys are like, I don't think I need to touch that one. You know, that's fine. I don't need to be calling. I mean, I know I'm anonymous, but I don't need to be calling anybody overrated. And so, I mean, I think out of the total amount of guys pulled, there was a substantial number of guys who did not answer that question. And then, you know, like it's 13 out of 90. It's like, okay, like that could be two teams of guys, you know, like, I mean, it, you know, you don't know basically who would say that. And it's just like, okay, like, so number one, you gotta be like, okay, like not a lot of people are lining up to answer one guy on that question at all. I mean, even if, again, 90 people answered it, but like, it's not like everybody has a consensus and this is what everyone thinks. And it's like, okay, how are you even, like, it depends on how you're rating Tyrese in the first place. I mean, if you think he's a top 10, if you think everybody thinks he's a top 10 player, then he would be overrated. If you think everybody thinks he's a top 20 player, then he probably isn't. You know, it just depends on how you view that. And it's a weird deal, but like, yeah, it serves as easy motivation. I mean, one of the first things he tweeted was overrate that. And, you know, like it didn't seem to bother him all that much when we asked him about it. You know, it was just like, hey, you know, like, it is what it is. And so, you know, I could see how he ends up getting that distinction, in the sense that, like, you know, he's a max contract guy. He was an Olympic gold medalist who didn't play very much in the Olympics. And out of guys that are just going to will himself to 30 every night, like, he's not necessarily that. Like, you got to watch him and like closely to see what it is that makes him as valuable as he is. You know, like, you got to watch a whole game to see how he changes the geometry and just how his ability to involve others makes a difference. But like, I'm sure if you're a player and you're like, well, that guy can't get past me every time, you know, and all these other guys can, and he's considered in that realm, and I think I can stop him. I could see how, as a player, you could come to that conclusion that he's overrated, but like, you watch a game and watch all 10 pieces move, it's different. Like, that's where you really see his value. So I get why somebody wouldn't see that, or why somebody might think that he thinks he's a bigger deal than he is, or he's rated as a bigger deal than he is. I guess it just depends on where you think he is technically rated, as to whether he's overrated or underrated.
Sure. Dustin, I got about 60 seconds left here. Sure. The Pacers win this series if what?
They shoot the ball really, really well and cause a lot of turnovers. I mean, I think that the game they won where they were both full strength, they surprised the heck out of the Cavs. Kenny Atkinson said, I can't believe they pressured us the entire entire half. And, you know, I mean, it's probably one of Cleveland's worst offensive halves of the year. I think they shot 28% from the floor, or maybe less than that, and they just were not prepared for as much pressure as got dialed up.
Is that Rick, though? Is that Rick?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. No, Rick didn't say it. Kenny said it about Rick.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It was Rick's call.
Because we were sitting before going, I wonder how many games Rick Carlisle is worth in this series.
He could be worth one or two. You know, like he could be worth a bit. Like, he's really good in adjustments. I mean, he's been around this thing for so long. I imagine it's funny to watch, even from, like, when you're dealing with any NBA fan base, because they get so, you know, like, up over every single decision. And there are Pacers fans that just want to kill Rick over 100 things he does. But he'll make an adjustment that the other guy doesn't see coming, and the other coach will be like, wow, I don't think you realize how smart this guy is. Mm. So he's pretty good at that, at adjusting things. I mean, one, you know, kind of key thing I thought he did in the Bucks series was he held Miles Turner. Like, Miles was kind of like a secondary defender on Giannis until the last game, where he really just put him on Giannis and, you know, just made that the fight for the finish. And Giannis still ended up with a triple-double, because Giannis is utterly incredible. But, you know, that I thought made a difference, and Miles really doubted up the last two games on both ends, I thought. And so that stuff, you know, little things like that make a difference, you know, just when they pressure, you know, defensive matchup
makes
changes,
sense. Yeah,
that kind of thing.
Totally makes sense. Dustin, thank you. We're going to be looking for your stuff, too, online, too. We're going to check it out, Indianapolis Star. Dustin Tapera, thank you so much. Well, hopefully we'll talk to you again throughout the series.
Absolutely. Have me on anytime. Thanks so much.
Thanks. Have a great trip while you're here in Cleveland, too. Thanks,
right,
Dustin.
Right, well.
You're right, well. Dustin, thank you. Appreciate it. He was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer, where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space: Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory, that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and, like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series, where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.